Hey guys, it's Pastor Chris
and Chrissy,
and we have the Edwards family. I'm going to let them introduce themselves to you. We'll start with Matt.
Hi, I'm Matt. This is my lovely wife, Abby, and we are originally from St. Louis, Missouri, but now live in Linz, Austria.
Yeah, so he introduced me already. I'm Abby.
We wanted to ask you guys a few questions for Hope Church, and guys, we have spent about an hour getting to know Matt and Abby, and they are wonderful. We think so, and we think you will too. We want to share their YouTube page, but I wanted to get you just a little bit more of a kind of personal connection with them. So we're going to ask them a few questions. I'm just coming up with these on the top of my mind. I don't have anything in front of me. So we're going to see what happens. But so one of the burning questions that I fought this entire time to not ask Matt and Abby is tell us why you decided to be a missionary. And then part two, maybe one of you pick one. Why are you guys missionaries? And then part two, why Austria?
I'll take one.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
So for us, the story is, it's a little bit long. I'll shorten it. But I personally, as a child, I used to have a dream when I was a kid. It's the same dream. I had it over and over and over, exactly the same, where I was sitting outside in the mountains, green hills. I was working with kids and I was not speaking English. And I knew in my heart when I would wake up from that dream that it was a dream about being a missionary. And so as a kid, I thought, I think I may be called to be a missionary. Mm-hmm. Quickly followed by, please God, don't call me to be a missionary. Right? So I had this dream over and over and over until adolescence, and then it stopped. We got married. We had a couple kids. I was pregnant with our third and started having this dream again, the exact same dream from my childhood. And I was like, God, what are you doing? And felt like the Holy Spirit said, I'm preparing you, but not yet. Mm. And I was like, okay, fine. Good. Great. Not yet. We can like build that till you say no. And so not that I was really close to it, but you know, no one imagines leaving everything they know. And so our third daughter was born. We had taken up a job as youth pastors at a Four Square church in St. Louis. And it was 2015, and the Holy Spirit gave me that dream again. We were driving to church and I looked at Matt. He was driving the van. I'm glad he didn't crash it. And I said, I feel like the Holy Spirit told me this morning that we're supposed to start the process to become missionaries. And he was like, okay. And so we prayed and we were just like, God, we know that you've been preparing our hearts. This wasn't a shock. It had been in my heart since I was really young. It had been on our hearts to pray about for years. And, but we, you know, it was always kind of a not yet kind of thing. And so, yeah, I think when the Holy Spirit finally said it, it was like our desire is to walk in obedience no matter how hard it is. And if you tell us to go, we'll go.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. Matt.
Why Austria?
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
So this is the easiest question.
Yeah, well, maybe, yeah.
Jesus.
No, but honestly, we had a heart for Europe. We knew that once we said yes to the calling that God had placed on our hearts, we knew that we had a heart for Europe. We were like, okay, Europe's pretty big. You know, there's quite a few different countries that we could choose from. You know, do I go with the dart method or you know, do I pray and I get like some divine knowledge that I'm supposed to go to this country or not? But we started looking at some videos of like different places we thought might be where we were supposed to go. Like one of them was Ukraine, because we had with Campus Crusade for Christ when we were in college, and we had, part of us still has a heart for that people group, but it closed up. It didn't work out. And we're like, okay, where are we supposed to go? And we had another missionary that had just moved to Vienna, Austria, out of nowhere, gave us a call. And we're like, this is strange. You know,
we had put Germany on all of our paper because I spoke German.
She spoke German and I had taken like two semesters of German in college. So we're like, well, we have a little bit of base knowledge. But it really, honestly, that was like not really in our thoughts that that's where we were supposed to be going. And throughout conversation with him and his wife, and with leadership through Foursquare Missions International, we came to Austria as where this is our heart. This is our new home. And we really felt it when we did our very first trip to Vienna, and we had a day in Linz where, you know, when you go to visit a place, you want it to be the perfect weather, so nice, you get to see all the sights and all that. Well, the first day was, it was completely cold, raining, windy, just disgusting weather. And even through all of that, when we go to the city center, both of us turn down the side from the side street to the city center, and we both see the city center, and we're like, this is home. And so we both knew in that moment that this is where God is placing us. We didn't know exactly why at that point, but now it's being revealed, and we're so excited to see what else is in store for us in the future.
Yeah, it was just a really clear sense of we're home. Like, and mm-hmm. We can't describe it any other way except the Holy Spirit just gave us an amazing peace, and we went, okay, this is where we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Hope Church, I was going to ask them what ministry activities they do. They have a lot of it on YouTube, so I'm going to share that with you. Instead, they told us an awesome story a minute ago. I'm sure they have others, but Matt or Abby, just pick a story. But sometimes when we're in church and, you know, God's tugging at our hearts and he's saying, give the missions, sometimes you need that thing that pushes you and says, that's what God is saying I need to connect with. So could you tell us a story or tell us an experience that you've been able to have on this journey that just, it seals the deal. Like, if I could be a part of anything, I always want to be a part of this. And what you're doing is guys, mm-hmm. Matt and Abby are asking you to partner with them. So you get to be a part of this as if you were there, your hands, your feet partnering with them. So guys, share a story, whatever comes to mind of really just sealing the deal there, partnering with Jesus.
So recently we started an initiative with Blessing Baskets. We felt like the Holy Spirit was laying on our heart in the time of COVID to just be a blessing and serve our city in whatever way we could. And our ministry philosophy has always been be Jesus before you talk about Jesus, show people Jesus before you talk about him. And so we felt like the Holy Spirit laid the most simple thing on our hearts, which was Blessing Baskets, and told us that we were supposed to provide families in our community with 50 euro. So about $60 worth of whatever they needed, groceries, baby supplies, school supplies, whatever.
Gas cards.
And so we put it out there on Facebook. We had some responses. We got the support that we needed. And so we started buying groceries for anybody who came to our hearts or the other God put on other people's hearts, and started taking groceries. And the reactions from people, I never in my life did I dream that 50 euros or $60 worth of groceries would be such a blessing to people. But to people who don't have a lot or don't have connection with other people, where they feel like people are watching out for them like a family, that's a big deal. And so we actually took groceries to a single woman who had moved in next door to a friend of ours from church, and took groceries to her. She opened the door and she just sort of looked at these groceries and she went, and we were like, surprise.
Yeah.
And like, oh my gosh, she had no words, which I can understand. I wouldn't have probably had any words either. And she invited us in. She started talking about other needs she had, which the Holy Spirit provided a way for us to be able to help her with other sort of practical things she needed, like a bed and other furniture. And long story short, she invited us back for dinner and asked us about what we believed and why we would reach out and help her, a perfect stranger who we'd never met before. And she's Iranian. She's from Iran, a country that we as believers could never get into. And she said, okay, well, I just want to know about what you believe. She goes, because listen, I don't think that Allah is the true God, and I see a difference in you. And so we were able to share our faith. She came with me to an Iranian congregation that I work with and do kids ministry with. And as she listened to praise and worship in her first language, her heart language, she was just weeping. And I my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would continue to break down the chains of her background and what she was taught about her role as a woman and how she can have a relationship or not have a relationship with God, that he continues to break down those chains and just really, meet her exactly where she is and show him that, or show her that he's loving. Amen. So, I think that's been one really cool thing that's happened in ministry in the last several months, that we just go, God, okay, cool. Like, we don't have to do, we don't have to have any specific amazing program. Like, you can lay things on our hearts and we're happy to walk in obedience. And if people see your love through us, through this one simple thing, then we count it as worth it.
Yes.
Amen. 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 That's awesome. Well, guys, I have one final question for you. I want to know, and I'm sure Hope Church wants to know, what out of all the things you could do, and Austria is just such a beautiful place. We've already been talking about it. Out of all the things you can do, what's the thing that you do just to enjoy time as a family, enjoy time with the Lord? You're really just kind of letting the hair down and just relaxing. What's your favorite thing?
Us together or our whole family?
Whole family.
Because
you can say something individually, but feel free.
Going on walks and stuff like that. But our younger girls, they activities sometimes is too much, you know.
No, but I think that we as a family really enjoy exploring. Like God put us in this amazing, beautiful country, and we want to explore it. And so we'll drive. We can drive 40 minutes and we're like in the Alps, you know, with these beautiful alpine lakes that are just like crystal blue. And so I think for us, fun as a family means going and exploring and taking $50 and buying snacks and lunches while we're sitting looking at something beautiful. I don't know. Yeah. But
I think that's as a family, really
discovering new places.
And finding new places that you hadn't been before and hadn't seen yet.
Exploring castle ruin. I mean,
that's awesome.
I want to do that.
Yes, absolutely.
By all means, come.
Yes.
When we're able to.
Yeah. So real quick, I got two other things for you. You guys mentioned that you'll be stateside. Could you let us know when you'll be back stateside and for anybody who's curious on those updates, what's that like?
We actually leave, the girls get out of school, I believe. I'm looking at my phone, like the dates are going to pop out at me. They get out of school July 11th. We hop on a plane July 12th and head to St. Louis. And then we'll be back and forth between Missouri, Kansas, and Colorado.
And Illinois
until sort of mid-August. And then we leave the first, I think it's the 5th of September.
The first week,
But I am officially my sister is pregnant with her second child and the only niece or nephew that I will ever be stateside to greet. Once we hit August, I am officially putting myself on baby watch.
Awesome. So church, please be praying for them as they travel and they do this. I've got a fun little thing I want to do here at the end here. I'm just going to bullet off a few statements. It's an either or statement. And I want you guys just to answer as quickly as possible, whatever comes to mind. So the first one, hot or cold?
Cold.
Hot.
Okay. Second one, tea or coffee?
Coffee. Tea.
Okay. Next one, Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Third one is naps or waking up super early in the morning?
Naps and then more naps.
Okay. All right. So I thought that would be fun. Hope Church, this is once again Matt and Abby Edwards, the Edwards family. They are in Linz, Austria, and they are a couple that we want to support. So we're going to send them just a blessing. Would you guys comment on this video so they can see it and I can share it online and just tell them, you know, whatever God's leading you to say, blessings for them, prayers for them. And I want to share that with them. I will send you their YouTube and I will also give you guys information on how you can partner more with their ministry. So with that said, we're going to say bye. I'm going to stop the recording. We're going to continue talking to them for a little bit, but bye Edwards family. And
thank you for joining
us. Sunday. Cheers.
So what do you guys think? Pretty cool, right? I was just so happy that they were able to do this with us. And we've actually kind of forged just a friendship with them. We talked about Star Wars and all the nerdy things too, all the superhero movies, all that stuff. So like I said, I haven't had a chance to show you this video yet. Now that I've shown it to you, it will be on our Facebook and YouTube pages for you to comment on. Please do. Their girls are awesome. We talked with them shortly before I filmed this. And then out in the lobby area, something you're going to start seeing for all of our missionaries, both the Foursquare and non-Foursquare missionaries, is just a little
info card. Shows a picture of their family, updated, like, so they sent us prayer points, which I thought were cool. Like, how do you need prayer? Well, they're telling us. So I think that's awesome. You know, it's definitely, I want you to be led by the Spirit and to pray as you feel led, but also seeing what they need and kind of what they're focused on, I thought was cool. And then you see the names of their daughters there, and you can join in prayer for the daughters too, because they've had a mess of things with school being in, out, and getting tested daily and all kinds of interesting stuff. So with that said, like I said in the video, Christy and I have chosen to partner with them. Something that I'd like you to prayerfully consider, and we're considering as a church, for the church to partner with them. So if you want to give to Matt and Abby specifically, I'll have the link on Facebook. If you would like to give through Hope Church, what I would advise that you do, write missions on there. That goes to a pool of money for missions specifically. And as we meet as the council, we're going to determine to add them to the group. We just haven't talked about it yet, the pros or cons, etc. So for now, just put missions, or wait until I share the link and you can give to them directly like Christy and I did. So I think that's Austria. Remember, we do also have Israel. And we also have Peru with Jim and Cece and the Kopp families. If you write missions on there, obviously we're still paying all of them. But if you'd like to give to them specifically, let me know and I can share an individual link. And then the last update that I would say on missions before we take a moment, let you feel free to give and drop it in the baskets. We also have two non-Foursquare missionaries, Stephen Barton and Amber Barton. And I believe, April, how much is Stephen still lacking? I thought it was a significant amount.
Yeah, it's like it's
3,000.
Yeah, they're lacking
as a whole thing.
All right, 3,000 is a whole lot better than I thought it was. So, church, I think we can help Stephen if you haven't already. I'm giving monthly. They have a little option on there just to take it out automatically. So that's what I opted to do so I don't forget and hose my friend. Because he's like, can you help me? Yes. You know, and then you forget to click the button and submit the payment. So I encourage you that if you're like me and you've got all kinds of things going on, consider giving monthly and just let it do it. Just let it take care of it. So 3,000 is something I think we can do. And then Amber will be, unfortunately, I say unfortunately, but I know the Lord needs you. So she'll be leaving soon too. And we want to make sure that she's able to get there. So with that said, I'm going to do something a little bit weird today. Amber, would you pray for missions because you have a missional heart and you're going to say it better than I do anyway.
Oh my, put on the spot. Can I sit here?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, I'm going to sit here. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the willingness of the people who have stepped out and said yes. But we also thank you for the willingness of the people who have stepped out and said, I'm going to give up this $5 for my Starbucks drink and donate it towards this. So, Lord, we just thank you for the hearts that you're shifting and the things that you're moving. We thank you for your provision and that you continually provide for your family and your children. And so we just bless this giving. We bless the people who are blessing people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Is this still on? Okay. Regarding Amber. So we love having Amber at home. She is a blessing to us. And can y'all hear me? Okay. We love having Amber at home. She's been a blessing to us with my mom, and my mom having Alzheimer's. My mom has come to be really close with Amber. She doesn't want Amber to ever leave home. April loves having the children at home all the time. I don't like any kids. I loved the 7 months that April and I had being empty nesters, 7 months, seven, that we were able to just walk around our house without having to put all our clothes on. Okay. And then kids started coming around, and then my mom moved in with us. And so my mom doesn't understand. She knows that Amber is going to go back on this mission trip. And every time we talk about it, she says, no, Amber can't leave. It's going to be very difficult for my mom. so when we talk about it. But truly, we know that Amber's being called to go to India, and she has been a huge, huge help to April and I when it comes to my mother. We're going to miss her, and I love you, Amber, and I appreciate everything. Thank you.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, she has been a massive blessing to us in the front office, like times a million. So we will be very sad to see that happen as well. So we are with you. With that, go ahead. You know, we'll take a moment. I'll get a few things ready, and I'll say this, and then you know, feel free to move and drop things in the offering baskets if you'd like. Just write missions on it so that they know. But we just came back from men's camp this last weekend. That's why I wasn't here. And I heard that Amber did a fantastic job, right? Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Amber. And so I want to ask a couple of the guys that are willing to give their testimony, just what God did. I know Alan is one. I'm going to guess that you have something that you could share as well, so please do. And then Kaya might have something that he'd like to share. But you guys go ahead and get ready, and then as they're kind of shuffling and I'm grabbing microphones, feel free to drop anything you need to in the offering baskets for missions. All right, with that said, I'm going to ask Alan to go ahead and come up first.
Men's camp was by far, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7 years I've gone. This was by far, and in my opinion, the best that just everything. The worship music, Kim's ministry at, you know, the facilities, the heart of the hosting congregation and the men, the food, the kids' waiting pool of Supreme Nachos. I'm not kidding you. They made a little kid's waiting pool about 4 foot across and about that tall full of nachos one evening. That was for after-service snacks. Yeah, they fed us well. But I wanted to share, you know, I got something that I don't think Kim preached about. God set up an ambush and I walked into it. At the end of one of the sessions, was that Saturday afternoon? Kim said, all right, pair up two or three, pray for each other. Find out what the other one needs. Well, there was a guy in front of me and from the local Ada church, and he turned around and it's just two of us. And so I asked him he shared some personal things and I prayed for him. And then he said, all right, what do you need? And I said, well, the thing that's really been kind of foremost on my heart recently had been the fact it had been 6 years since I'd been widowed. And I knew from day one I was supposed to get married again. But we ain't making any progress. Well, you know, sometimes when you say something like that, just figure God might just haul off and kick you in the shins, because it might be your fault. I was sitting there, and I don't really remember what the guy prayed, but evidently he connected because God started just dumping on me. He reminded me 50 years ago before my wife and I got married that I had a short list of things. I said, all right, God, I'm going to want my wife to do this and this and this and this. There were four items on that list. And you know what God said? You've not made any requests. And he kind of, how many of you have ever been down to Norman to the Magnificent Mile of Cars? They got umpteen car dealerships, they got pickups, and they got SUVs, and they got four doors, and they got sports cars, and they got American-made and imports and blah, blah, blah. And God kind of chuckled. He said, it'd be like you going down there saying, I want a new car, but you haven't got a clue. You're going to have to test drive every car on every lot to figure out what one, and you're going to get tired a long time before you ever find the right one. And so I go, huh, I might ought to decide what I'm looking for instead of test driving all of them. And so I came home that Sunday afternoon, got home, and my quiet time with God's when I'm laying in bed just before I go to sleep, and God started ticking off things that I'd talked to God about, but I hadn't really made. And so in the last week, God's got very, we got an order in now. No four-door pickups, no sports cars, it was surprising. There were a lot of other good things that God spoke and ministered to me and to a lot of, I think one of the, probably the, to me, the most exciting thing was Sunday morning. How big's their congregation down there? 200, 100 and a half? And then the men, and so we were in the church, and so the wives and the kids were there with us. And I think it was when they said greetings. I'm not sure when, but it'd be during a song. Nobody said anything, and God had touched somebody's heart, and next thing you know, they were at the altar. Well, I never saw the pastor or the men's ministry, or it was the members of the congregation. If it was a little kid, all the little kids in the congregation went up and prayed for him. If it was a lady, the women of the church went up and prayed with him. If it was a young man, it was a youth, it was the youth that went and prayed for him. And this went on throughout all the song service, all the sermon. Kim's up there and Kim's busy with his notes. He keeps throwing pages out. He had a couple of videos he's going to show. We don't need those, because the Holy Ghost just started ministering, and it was because the Holy Ghost was ministering through and to all of us.
Amen. God is good.
Here's the deal. Something that Kim Pittner said a number of years ago, he says, I've got a problem with some modern Christian music. And I said, brother, what's that? He said, well, these songs where Jesus is my boyfriend just leave me cold. Where it's so soft and so mushy that, I don't know, my man siren goes off. And one of the things that I really love about these men's retreats is that men enter into worship. And it's warfare, it's inspiration, it's protection, it's motivation, it's assignment. It's all of those things wrapped up into one. And I love that. I love it when men worship, because we have to face things. Girls are wired in a particular way, and if a man won't take his position, she'll try to. Okay? If he's not going to seek God, she will. If he's not going to cover his family in prayer, she will. In other words, she'll try to take on the role that actually God assigned to him. And it's just amazing to get into a room full of men who understand that, who walk in it, who embrace it, who pursue it, who make it their own. And they're not waiting for someone else to tell them what to do. They're already walking in God's assignment for their family, for their jobs, for their relationship, all of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that blesses me. And another thing that really blessed me was how the young men that were present, and I mean the young ones, felt like if God gave them a word that they could walk up and take that microphone and share it with all these other men. That was an amazing thing. Now, I'm going to say something that's a little bit extemporaneous, but which means not exactly on the point for the men's retreat, but what's something that applies to us here in that regard. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are here. They're here. And we want to make room for those things to manifest themselves. As a matter of fact, our pastor has done everything that he can to encourage us, teach us, say, you are free to do that here. It can happen here. We're not waiting for anything else. And what I want to do is reinforce that message and say with as much passion as I can possibly muster for the moment, if God gives you something to share with this congregation that you believe is from the Holy Spirit, do not continue to sin by sitting there and doing nothing. I guess that would include me.
Amen.
Yes. Something. Yes, please come up. I agree.
On the note of what John just said, would it be possible for one of the men to make a declaration about what he just said, about the Holy Spirit being free? And I, as he also said, I really believe it needs to come from the men. There's a reason for that. God didn't specifically tell me why. But if one of the men could make a declaration, or several, and the rest of us could repeat it.
Absolutely. Let's definitely do that. Something I'm going to add on to what John said before we jump into this. If you are unsure if your message is for you or for the body, come ask me. Come ask Alan. I don't want you to not say it because you're not sure. We're all learning, and there's plenty of room for that. Please know that this is a safe place. If you're not sure, come ask us. We'll tell you, no, that's a wonderful word, but that's just for you, and it's okay. And I'll agree with you in prayer, and we'll declare it over you in Jesus' name. And then there are times that we're like, yes, please, do not delay. Come on up, okay? So we will provide that. Alan will have a microphone ready. He had one this morning with him. So if you feel that you want to share something and you're not sure where it should land, come ask him, okay? All right, so I'd like everybody to stand up and join me on this. We have a regular declaration, but I agree with Tina. This has been on my mind a lot. Thank you, John. I feel like I actually was processing this, and I felt like you guys would say, oh gosh, we're still talking about this. Hey, we're in another week, and we're talking about words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And we're going to continue talking about more gifts and more ways to be equipped. So there won't be any shortage of understanding, I hope. So declare this with me. Men, please don't let those ladies' voices get louder than ours. Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I am your vessel.
I am your vessel.
Speak through me.
Speak through me.
Work miracles through me.
Work miracles.
Speak words through me.
Speak words through me.
Use me how you see fit.
Use me how you see fit.
In this church,
in this church,
in the world,
in the world,
whatever you call me to.
Whatever you call me to.
I say yes,
I say yes,
and amen. To
your will
and your way. In Jesus' name. Do you agree with that? Okay. Then let's do it. Let's believe what we say. Okay? You may be seated. I think I can. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I agree.
So maybe, ladies,
let's push them a little bit by being a little louder. Yes. Hands to heaven. All right. Holy Spirit.
I am your vessel.
Use me.
Speak through me.
Work miracles through me. Speak words through me. To your church.
To your body.
To this world.
Not my will,
but your will be done.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hey, I heard Robert. Yeah. Amen. All right. I'm probably going to continue to do this forever. It just, like we've been saying, when you speak something, it really gets down in deep. And I don't know if you need cue cards. I think they have it. But just our declaration, I do hand motions. Pastor Glenn's got his Bible shaking the entire time. So whatever you want to do, let's say our declaration together. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says. And my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, so today we are talking about his words and not mine. I've got a video that it's going to tell this better than I am, so forgive me, but I'm going to accelerate my notes to get to the point here. But I want to open up in prayer real quick. Pastor Glenn and I didn't do our normal routine, and I just like covering this in prayer. So, Lord Jesus, be my voice today. Speak through me. Use me in the way that you see fit, just as we said. Lord, I believe it. I receive it, and I declare it this day that I will be a vessel for your glory. And, Lord, I will not say what I want to say or what I think, Lord, but I will be led by your promptings. I will be led by your spirit and all the ways that you've poured your word in me and shown me your word. You've shown me life, Lord. Let me speak about those things today so that it might bring life to those that are hearing me, whether it's in person or online. Lord, use me. Be with me as I know that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so our key scripture is found in 1 Corinthians 12, 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, we've talked about it being spiritual things, things of the Holy Spirit. Those things, I don't want you to be ignorant. So Paul is doing much like we've been doing, where he's educating the churches that the Holy Spirit is the one who's given you these gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers you for the work of ministry. Jesus said you do greater things. Why? Because Holy Spirit is inside you. They had this wild belief that it was one spirit doing this, it was another spirit doing that. If you kind of stood on one leg, you could do that. It was just wild and all over the place. So he's correcting him in love and saying, hold on a second. Let me reintroduce you to the third part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son. Oh, wait, God the Holy Spirit. That's who we're talking about. That's who's equipping you. So that's who I want you to be fully acquainted with, because it's a relationship. Jumping down to verse 4, verses 4 through 8 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry. Some of us don't really believe that and understand that. I'm going to say it again. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So your ministry doesn't have to look like somebody else's ministry. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's going to look different because you're different. All right? You hear me? Verse 6, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. My favorite part about all of this is by love, 1 Corinthians 13, we're doing this, empowered by love, for the benefit of all. So if you look at someone and men's testimony is, I was just really in a position to listen that weekend. And the thing that I felt God was challenging me to do, people I didn't even know, but to look at them and to call out one thing that was a blessing, just one. I don't have to make a list, but I felt the Lord was saying, if I can look at each and every person that I was scanning the room for, even on Sunday, ladies and kids included, but I can look at each and every person and speak life through one thing. And is that not prophetic? What does prophetic say that we do? Edify and exhort and build up, right? Would it be building up somebody if I walked over to them and said, you know what? I've been picking on Kaya this week. Kim Pittner started singing a song. He was having a hard time getting up. Older guys, you know, right? We're getting there. But he gets up and he's like, standing tall and looking good. You know, so he had this little song, part of the song that he started singing. He did this little chest thing. So I've been picking on Kaya. So I was like, standing tall and looking good, brother. Right? You know, just tell some dude, man, hey, you've got it going on today. Go get him. Right? But find something that you can speak life into them and tell them, hey, looking great today. Man, I overheard you singing. Man, you were belting it out. You sounded awesome. You really enhanced worship. Man, I heard the word that you gave to so-and-so. That really ministered to me too. It wasn't necessarily for me, but I overheard it. Praise God. I receive it. Good job. Keep being faithful. And it doesn't have to be that. I mean, Robert, that's an awesome coffee mug. I need about that much coffee to function. I need to get me one of those. Thank you for inspiring me. Okay? But find something that you can do to be beneficial and build up everyone, okay? That's what I loved about this. So as I said, today we're talking about the words of knowledge and the words of wisdom. Something that you need to kind of just wrap your mind around. God knows everything. He understands everything. He sees everything. He's at infinite knowledge, infinite wisdom. If God tried to deposit that into our wee little brains, it'd be bad. And I think he knows it. So he says, I'm going to take my vast pool of knowledge, my unending knowledge. I'm going to give you a word. And what that really means is just a portion or a fraction of it. So he's not saying, word, and you say, yes. All right, there's my word. No, it's going to complete a thought or complete a point. It's going to be cohesive. It's just not going to be all of it. Does that make sense? So a word of knowledge would be a portion of God's knowledge. A word of wisdom would be a portion of God's wisdom. Are you with me? So that's step one. If we can understand that it is okay. So for instance, I'll pick out Eli because he's not here to defend himself. At men's camp, God gave Eli multiple words. And they were things that God did elaborate on because Eli asked him to elaborate, but the words came as single words. So Eli kept hearing brave over and over and over and over and over again. He's like, okay, God, what do you want to say about brave? He said, I didn't know what brave meant, so I looked it up. I was like, way to go. Like, good job, right? That's a good place to start. If you don't know what something means, go grab it. Alan's got a wonderful story about grabbing a exhaustive concordance or thesaurus because he thought he knew what a word meant, and the Lord wasn't talking about it that way. So I was like, step one, if you're not sure what you know that you know the word means, look it up. I thought that was great. So he looked up the word, and then God gave him the rest of it now that he had the understanding of what that word was saying, and then he spoke it out. He also kept saying glory. So he's like, glory. What's God talking about with glory? I was like, well, his glory is here, is it not? He's like, you're right. You know, God's here, you know. So he started kind of talking about it that way. So yes, it could be a word, but I encourage you to, and we're going to unpack it a little bit here, but I encourage you to ask God, what do you want to say about that word? Like, you're giving me a portion of your knowledge for now. What do you want to say? Okay? Real quick, I'm going to highlight both of them initially, and then I'm going to break down each of them individually. So words of wisdom, or the word of wisdom, usually deals with the future. I say usually. Word of knowledge usually deals with past or present. I'm going to unpack this for you. Okay, let's go back up to word of wisdom. It's a supernatural perspective to understand the divine means for accomplishing God's will in given situations. It's divinely given power to enable spiritual intuition to solve problems. I may not read all of these. I have a lot, so you can check out my notes. I like this one. It's a divine sense of direction. It's being led by the Holy Spirit to act appropriately in a given set of circumstances. Have you ever heard Holy Spirit say, be quiet? You know, all right, Lord, I'm keeping my mouth shut. You know, normally I would say something. He's saying, given what I know about the situation, you shouldn't say anything. All right? Are you with me? And then I like this. Alan and I have talked about this in Sunday school. We meet at 9:30. We are still talking about Holy Spirit gifts, gifts of the Father, gifts of Jesus. But I like this one. It's knowledge rightly applied. The word of wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. Because wisdom works interactively with discernment and word of knowledge. It's you getting a word of knowledge and then God telling you how to use that word of knowledge. Isn't that cool? All right, here's the word. Now I'm going to show you what to do with it. God does that if you ask him. Amen? All right, word of knowledge. Supernatural revelation of the divine will and plan of God. Supernatural insight or understanding of circumstances or a body of facts by revelation. That is, without assistance of any human resource or solely by divine aid. I'm going to give you two examples that I've experienced both of these in my life. I'll probably minimize the details, but I received a word of knowledge, so facts in the mind of God. There was a lady that was locked out of her car. God dropped in all four digits to her car. I didn't really know her that well. And I said, can I try? And she looked at me like I was crazy. I went boop, 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 and it click, click. You know, so God gave me knowledge that I didn't previously have from his mind. Those are things that already existed, so it wasn't future-based. And he said, here's the code. Okay? Many, many years ago, and I'm saying the story, I wish all three of my sons were in here. We've been teaching this to them as well. But many years ago, I was driving in the car. We were going, one of the churches we went to when I was much younger, we drove about hour, maybe hour and a half to get to. So Sundays and Wednesdays. And in that time, I spent a lot of time just asking the Lord to speak to me. You know, it's been a prevailing theme in my life. It's, God, I just want to hear your voice. So he did. And he gave me a word about someone's life coming to an end. And I was encouraged to call them and say, the Lord says you don't have long. And what I feel that he's saying is if you ask him for time, he'll give you time to settle the things that you need to settle, which of course they did. And it wasn't something that shocked them. And that bothered me greatly because it's like, what, you already knew? Yeah, I already knew, you know, kind of thing. And so the downside, and the reason why I'm telling this story, and I chose this one out of all the stories I could have told, was because this one scared me so bad that I didn't ever want to hear God's voice again. God, I just told somebody they're going to die. That's not encouraging, like, you know, it was to them, believe it or not, because they've been wrestling with some stuff and they just knew what God was doing and God had a greater plan and, you know, all that. But I love this person very much, and I did not want to be the one giving the word, but nonetheless, that word went forth. They were able to do what they needed to do, and they were able to depart gracefully. So I say all that to say it took me many years to say, God, I don't get to tell you how you deliver words. I said I'd be willing to be a vessel. I said I'd be willing to speak. And even though I don't always like the message that I get to give, something that we see in the Word of God is those words are up to us on how we'll respond as well. So when we're the receiver of the Word, I'll give you just a quick little nugget. Look up the story of Jonah. God declared a word. Jonah believed and agreed with the word so much that he didn't like the fact that God seemingly changed his mind because of their response to the word. Now, if you study your Bible, you'll find out that they in turn did continue in their ways well after the fact, and that word did come to pass. But, you know, it's like, you know, God spoke, and he's waiting to see what your heart will do. How will you respond? Another good example of that is one of my favorite stories. We could talk about this more, but more on that later. But I love the story of Samuel and Saul. And when Samuel confronts Saul, rather than seeking repentance, rather than seeking to make it right with God, he said, but the people. When David was encountered with a similar situation, David said, oh me. You know, it's all in your heart response. How will you respond when the word of the Lord comes to you? Another example, Hezekiah, named after King Hezekiah. Well, King Hezekiah had a moment, and God delivered a word similar to the one I gave to this guy I just mentioned and said, you need to put your house in order. You're not long for this world. I'm summarizing. And then it said, before Isaiah could even get to the outer courts, God dropped something back in his spirit. He said, go back. And what he didn't know, and I'm sure until he got there and Hezekiah told him the story, he said, the moment I heard your word, he went to prayer. And then he prays before the Lord and asks the Lord for more time. And what did the Lord give him? More time. So he was able to do all these things. So I say all that to say that you could give a word that is just like, to you, man, this is terrible. You know, I don't want to say that, you know? But we don't get to determine what words we're given or how they land on the person. We have to speak it out and do our best to speak it in love. I wasn't like, hey, you're dead. It was obviously wrapped up a little bit different than that, right? In love. Okay? Are you with me? I'm going to give you one more example, and then I think I'm going to jump to our video, I think. Here's a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom in one story. Write this down. Acts chapter 9, and it's verses 10 through 16. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 16. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, just FYI, here's the word of wisdom, future, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So he pulled facts that were currently existing out and said, there's a man, he's here, he's doing this, and I've already shown him this. So go. Oh, and by the way, to answer your question, here's a little nugget of what I know is going to happen. This is what I'm going to do to this man. Did he have to give that? No. But he asked the question, and I like that the Lord is always willing to say, I'll answer your question here. You know, and I'm sure Ananias is sitting there like, what does that mean? God didn't have to give him everything, and maybe he asked him about it later, or maybe he just saw it, but he just gave him enough to say, now go do it, you know? So I like that. So that's your story that consists, just one, there's many others, but has wisdom, a word of wisdom, and a word of knowledge in it. So that's New Testament for all y'all are like, does he do it today? New Testament. So here's the question that I ask in all of these, why, right? What's the purpose? And something that really just fell on me and I couldn't get away from, so I think they have a slide for it. It's once again in my notes if you want to look at it online. But I just thought that we tend to tell stories about everything. Like I talk to all kinds of people, and I hear all kinds of stories, some good, some not so good, but I hear a lot of stories. And I felt the Lord saying it's time that we listen to him and we begin sharing his stories. And I don't know if you know this or not, I hope this is freeing because it was for me, is when you partner with Jesus, you become a part of his story. And now your story becomes a part of his story. And those stories are meant to build people up and to get them excited for ministry. So I know a few of you in here, just because I've heard some of the stories, have praise reports and have things that God has done recently that could bolster someone's faith when they don't know, you know, can God do that? Is he willing? Is he able? And when they hear your story, they're able to say, God did it for them. Surely he could do it for me, right? So start telling his story. Start becoming a part of that. I want to read you two final verses. Guys, the rest of my message is on our website and on Faith Life. But really quickly, the next point was, why does he give this to speak through us? In Luke 21, the second half of verse 12 through 15, he reminds them, he said, you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. One of my favorites, like you're in the middle of fire, but you get to testify. Like, that's just so cool. So settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you'll answer, raise your hand if you're one of those that tends to process a conversation before you even get there. You're like, I'm going to say this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to set them straight. And then you get into the room and the Lord's like, no, we're not saying that. Here's what we're saying. And you're like, yes, sir. You know, and it goes differently. I'm telling you, I'm willing to bet it goes better than what you were going to say, because I've been in those moments, and my thoughts on the matter weren't too fantastic. But I say what he wants to say, because it said, don't meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You can contradict or resist me. You can't contradict or resist him. So it's different, all right? Then in Isaiah 51:16, he said it again, and I have put my words in your mouth. I've covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. Does it sound like something Jesus would say and Jesus would do? Why? Because he's God. Of course he would. So he's put his words in us to speak through us, to use us. All we have to do is be willing. So what I'm telling you today is you don't have to have a college degree at Name Your Seminary to preach the word of God if you're a willing vessel. Now, you may have the freedom and the grace from the Lord that says, hey, you want that? I bless you in that. But you don't need that. Hear me on that. You don't need it, okay? We are his ambassadors, and an ambassador is an authorized representative or messenger. We're his messengers. We're authorized. He says, you can do it. He says, I've equipped you, so go be faithful, okay? All right. My last thing I'll say after the video here, but the question, if you're wanting to write down the question, is, are these gifts still in operation today? A lot of people will tell you no, but let's play our video, please.
It was the fourth morning of the third week of the month of Adar, sometime during the second hour.
It doesn't have to be precise.
Why wouldn't it need to be precise? Mine will be precise.
My answer might not make sense.
Try me, Mother.
I can hardly remember a time when I didn't know him. There's one little kick.
Go on.
My son, why are you doing all this? Why now?
Because we're getting older. And our memories are...
I mean, why now? During Shiva?
Because everyone is here. I need to get their memories.
You need to mourn your brother.
He won't be the last of us this happens to. Who knows when I will see the others again, or if. I'm not in a hurry to write a whole book, but I do want to get the eyewitness stories now. While we're together.
Isn't Matthew going to write something?
He's only writing about what he saw and about what Jesus told him directly. But I was there for things that Matthew doesn't know about. I was in his inmost circle. He loved me.
He loved all of you. You just feel the need to talk about it more often. I prefer to treasure these things in my heart. You know that if you try to write every single thing he did, the world itself could not contain the books that would be written.
A disclaimer. That's good, I'm going to say that. You see, Mother, if I do not write these things down, they will be lost to history. James would agree.
Where will you start?
In the beginning, naturally. I'm just, not sure which beginning.
His birth?
Earlier.
His ancestry?
I'm pretty sure Matthew has that covered. But...
Maybe the prophecies, the promise to Abraham.
I thought about starting with Abraham, but still so much came before him.
What was before Abraham?
Noah.
And before him?
A garden.
Well, we could start there.
But I wanted to be known that he was much more than what could be seen or touched. What was before the garden? In the beginning, the earth was formless and void.
Cannot hear it without thinking of you two.
I cannot believe how much he put up with. Others. They will not even remember the sound of his voice. They'll just be words.
He said they weren't just words, remember? Heaven and earth will pass away.
But my words will never pass away.
They're eternal.
Five books of Moses, and no more.
They're missing out on so much.
Yes. But we have to start somewhere. What do you think I should read? Maybe Moses striking the rock instead of speaking to it. Or Balaam hitting his donkey when he was mad.
Don't torment me.
How about when Moses broke the tablets? Jonathan storming away from the dinner table. Samson striking down the men of Ashkelon. Oh, wait. They don't have those
scrolls. I get it.
I really am open to suggestions for the reading.
I couldn't. After today, after yesterday, I do not feel very much worthy.
Who's worthy of anything?
You? But no man, apparently.
I'm a man, John.
And yet...
I am who I am.
Have you made your selection, Rabbi? Rabbi?
Almost. Sorry. Almost. They're getting restless out there.
So, do you have a favorite passage from the first five?
Do you?
I don't know. I like them all.
You don't say. I suppose I love the beginning. Hmm. I love how God simply spoke and the world came into being.
Yes. As David wrote, by the word of the Lord,
the heavens were made. You know, the Greeks use word to describe divine reason, what gives the world form and meaning.
I like that. And it is a favorite memory. A reading from the first scroll of Moses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the earth was void and without form.
And the Word was with God.
And the darkness covered the face of the deep.
And the Word was God.
Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it.
There's so much that I could talk about there. One of my favorite points that Mary made was John said, many people won't even remember the sound of his voice. There would just be empty words. And then her response was so powerful because it's like, you know, so often we could feel that way. So often we could think, what did he sound like? You know, I've only heard his voice audibly, you know, this many times, and it's so easy to forget what he sounds like, you know. And then remembering that his words are alive. They're always speaking. They always have power and depth and warmth and wisdom. And then she said one of my favorite scriptures, probably, there's a lot, but this is one of the ones that are really high up on my list in terms of what's the pastor's favorite. I've always, always loved John 21:25. And there were also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Like, he's got power and he's working all these miracles. And I don't believe that was just for now because, you know, this happened even after he was crucified and resurrected. But it's like we could be still writing books because he's doing stuff. He's alive. And we have to be talking about our Savior, who is a current thing, not 2,000 years ago this guy came. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what it sounds like to you when you talk about it, but I'd rather talk about him as he is. Hey, let me tell you about my friend. Let me tell you about my master. Let me tell you about my father, you know? He's existing now. And I believe that in the Bible, and I just love this portion, obviously they added some creative freedom, but man, just done so well. But I believe for me, something I've thought about often is through the Bible, we can see a picture of who Jesus is. What he wants us to do is walk out that relationship with him, because then it comes alive. Then that picture, and this is the only picture I have in front of me, but then that picture kind of pops off the page. And now he is living, and he is breathing, and he is doing. You know, so that's something that struck me and connected with me here. And then one other thing I'll say on this is, through that continual relationship with him, we actually start to see the depth of his character. We start to understand his desires, the way that he loves us, the way that he loves others. Often we don't see the way that he loves others. You know, usually we see the bad things. Oh, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say that. I don't know what Jesus would say. He's probably good, like he was there. So I have to tell you, if you haven't watched Chosen, please do. But in that scene, it's hilarious. Me and Kai were laughing in the front row. I was also crying, but laughing on the front row because he had literally just gotten in trouble with his brother James in the original narrative, and he called them the Sons of Thunder because they wanted to call fire down on somebody who didn't like what Jesus was doing. So I don't know if you caught the gist there where he was like, maybe we talk about him striking the rock. Maybe we talking about him killing everybody. So Jesus is very funny. He is to me anyways, because we're made in his image and we can be funny. So we had to get it from the one who is the best at all the jokes. So I believe, like they often show, that Jesus had a sense of humor and he was picking at him. But he also encouraged him and reinforced it. So I like that. And then the last thing I would say on that is be careful that you don't fall into this boat, that often we idolize the way that Jesus did something or said something the last time, and we don't allow him to do it fresh and new this time. We miss out on blessings because we said, you said, you did. We, like the Israelites, build up all our memorial stones and said, this is where God meets us. You know, he's like, hey, I'm over here. Like, that's where we were. Here's where we're going, right? Here's where you were. Don't go back to it. That's meant just to remind you of his faithfulness, but you're still progressing forwards. Follow him. Keep up. Last thing I'll say on word, and it was so fitting that he says, in the beginning was the word. Today we have Logos and Rhema. We have written word and spoken word. Why? I'll remind you again, because Jesus is alive. So the Logos helps us determine, is this biblical? Does this match up with the way that you speak, what you care about, what you stand for? Oh, it does. It's not just me. Oh, wow. You know, that opens up our minds to understand all this time he's been speaking, and all this time little silly, but I thought it was me, right? Oh, that sounded good. Good job, Chris, you know? And no. Good job, Lord. That was you, right? All right. If any of this is difficult for you to accept, I have a word from Jesus for you today. And it's found in John 10, 26 through 28. This is my final scripture. Jesus says, but you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. If that doesn't ring true for you today, there's room. Come on down. Let us pray with you. I want you to know I'm his sheep. And what does it say his sheep do? They hear his voice. So I'm here. Many of us are here. I encourage any of you out there that feel led to pray for somebody. But Kaya and the worship team, will you guys just play something here? I want to just allow for a moment of whatever God did in you or through you or for you today. Just take a moment to either sit where you are or feel free to come up front to the altars. But let him do it. I believe that he's already calling, those that he's calling. I believe that he's already calling, and I just encourage you to not second guess it. And it doesn't have to be a salvation call. Sometimes it can just be a, Lord, I just want to give it all back to you call. I just want to relinquish control. I want to hear your voice clearly again. Minimize all the noise. Maybe the last one? How about that? Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for moving. Thank you, Lord, for speaking your word. You are alive. You are alive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. they jump into too many of the lyrics. Has anybody been dealing with migraines specifically right here? Even if you're up here, but right side, right above your right eye, migraines. Okay. Yeah? Come on down. All right, church. Do you believe what you said? He said, everyone comes and prays.